This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Lindsey Graham. He got busted on a hot mic. This is him talking to John Kerry. Go ahead and listen real closely.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Privilege to be with you. Thank you.
Hey, John, good job. Let me know what I can do to help you with Boehner.
Let me know what I can do to help you. Just keep this in mind. The Democrat politicians, they believe. They believe and they fear their base. Even if they don't believe, even if they start to waver, they fear their base. Republican politicians, they badmouth you all the time behind your back. They stand up and, I'm going to fight for freedom. These Democrats are insane. And the second the cameras are off, they go behind closed doors and they're all having a good old-fashioned scotch, laughing about what a stupid rube you are. Oh, these idiots, they probably don't even trust the election. That's what they think. All right, back to this. Guy wanted to know, or wanted to talk about, why are women on the right so much more attractive than women on the left? There are a couple things to this. One, you know what makes a dude, one of the things that make a dude a lot more attractive to women? A sense of humor. Women love to laugh. Well, everyone loves to laugh, but you get a sense of humor, you can do real well out there, fellas. Before you know it, you're going to find yourself a dime to marry. Start making babies with her. Have yourself a good time. You know what makes a woman more attractive? Smiling. There's something about, well, I've always believed this, and I have no backup to this whatsoever. I believe that one of the gifts God gave women is they help set the mood of a room. That if you have a woman or a bunch of women, let's say it's you and a few dudes and there's a woman in there and she's kind of a bitter, maybe she had a bad day, bitter, angry, nasty. It will bring down the mood of the entire room. But if you have a dime in there with a smile on her face, it lifts the entire room up. Women more than men control the mood of the room. That's why at virtually everything from restaurants hiring pretty little waitresses to fancy cocktail parties to whatever the case may be, to actors, to newscasts, to everything, who do they hire on the female side? Beautiful women who smile. That's who they hire. You know why? You know why? You know who wants to be around beautiful women? Everybody. When men do, women do, everyone. It helps affect the mood of the room. And that leads me to the communist women. I don't know if you've ever known anybody in your life who has bitterness, or maybe you yourself suffer from it. And I'm not judging you. The life comes with so many curveballs and ups and downs, and maybe you got screwed over by your business partner. Maybe you had a bad mom or a bad dad or both, or maybe you married the wrong person. They ran out on you or something. Who knows? But bitterness it's one of those things that's natural. I'm not judging you, but bitterness is one of those things. Man, you'd be better off smoking a pack of Marlboro Reds a day than you would harboring bitterness. It sucks the life out of you. And I mean, it does. It ages you. Well, remember, you're only a communist if you're a malcontent. There has never, ever, ever in the history of mankind, from the Soviet Union to America today, there has never once been a grateful, pleasant communist. Have you ever noticed that? Ever noticed that at all? I'm all ears. If anyone wants to refute that, you've never seen one. You've never seen a communist say something like, man, what a great day. Man, you know what? Look at this hot meal I'm about to eat. Gosh, I am so blessed to be here. You've never once heard a communist say that. When everything's bad, everything's miserable, everything sucks, this sucks, America sucks, men suck, women suck, this sucks. It ages you. It takes the life out of you. You see one of these 40, 50-year-old dimes on the right? Totally smoking hot. You ever seen a 50-year-old liberal woman with her Beach Boys haircut and that look in her face that looks like she wants to eat your sofa and your children? That comes, what, Chris? That comes from years of it. Dear famous author, I have a favor to ask you. Could you find us more companies that we conservative non-communist folk can purchase items from, such as shoes and clothes, etc.? Says you can say my name. Are you ready for this? I get this question a lot. I have a resource for you because I get this question, Jesse, where do we shop? Or I'll get people saying, and I get this, Jesse, can you come up with something? Create a website. Come. It already exists. Pick up your phone. Unless you're driving, then you wait and do this when you get home. Pick up your phone. In your app store right now, I want you to download Public SQ. S as in Sam. Public SQ. Doesn't matter what you have, Apple, Android, it doesn't matter. Public SQ, what it is, what you'll find, it's a database increasing every single day of businesses in your area that share your values. And like I said, it's growing. These businesses are applying and whatnot. You want to go out? You got to go out today and Junior needs a new pair of shoes. Got to get Aiden some new kicks. Would you like to patronize a business that didn't bow to the government for COVID? Pick up your phone. Public SQ. Download the app. Chris, how great is Public SQ? Chris downloaded it too. It's awesome. Public SQ. There you go. There's your resource. I didn't even have to do anything. Someone else did. Dear America's Dad, I was stoked when you had young firebrand Savannah Hernandez on your show. I know you say that you don't want to do many interviews, but thank you for making an exception for her. I think as our dad, you should highlight more young conservatives so that all ages in your radio audience can know them and so you can strengthen America's young conservative base. Okay, a couple of things. Let me clarify a couple of things. I don't do many interviews for a couple of different reasons. One, when I first started doing radio, I've told you this before, 4 years ago. Remember, I'm new at this. My mentor, Michael Berry, who got me that one-hour spot at night on KPRC, the great KPRC in Houston, he got me a one-hour show, 7, 8 o'clock at night. He banned me from having guests or taking phone calls for at least 6 months. And he said this to me. He said, Jesse, learning to sit down by yourself behind a microphone and entertaining people is a skill. It's a skill that you have to work on. You're not going to be good at that first night. And if you sit and use phone calls as a crutch or guests as a crutch, you will never be interesting. And you will always bank on someone else to make your show entertaining. So if I relied on phone calls and guests, then every day when you tune into the Jesse Kelly Show, you know what you're at the mercy of? My guest or my phone calls. Instead of me, if I have total control of it, then you know every single day what you're getting. You're getting me every single day. I do, however, try to balance that with trying to mentor as much as humanly possible the next generation of people coming up. Remember, I do appreciate all the compliments. Oh, you're the next Rush and stuff. There's only one Rush. You're never going to have another one probably in your lifetime, and it's definitely not me. I'm glad you love the show, but we were blessed to have the one we had. However, there probably is some 20-year-old firebrand out there who maybe he or she is the next one. If I can do something to help that person come into the mainstream, it's fine. But here's the problem with youth. And not that youth was a bad way to put that. I'm not one of these people who craps on people for being young. When you have any level of fame at all, that can be very difficult to handle. It can be very difficult to handle for somebody older and established who knows who they are, likes who they are, and things like that. For a young person, 20 years old, 22, 25 years old, that can be virtually impossible to handle that. And it can send you off the rails quickly. It's just, look, you don't even know fully who you are yet. You're still working that out. Your brain's still developing. That's not, I'm not judging. That just comes from life experience and time. I hesitate with a lot of younger ones until I see them. If they ask me, I don't reach out and give people advice. If I'm asked, I pour advice on people. I'm happy to mentor. I want to. I don't grab the next young, you know, the next young funny dude, the next young pretty face, as far as women go, and tell, hey, you're going to be a star. That can mess people up. I'm very, very cautious. Plus, I'm cautious with who I recommend to you, and I always will be. I'm always cautious with that. I'm also cautious with how much emergency food I buy because the wife is officially getting mad, Chris. She's getting mad. I loved My Patriot Supply before they ever partnered with the show. And the day I got the text that they were partnering, that they love the show and they're partnering with the show, I geeked out a little bit because I've been a fan. So I get a lot of stuff from My Patriot Supply. I believe every single person should have an emergency 3-month food kit. I think you're crazy if you don't. I maybe have gone above and beyond the 3-month supply. And the wife is beginning to voice her displeasure. Hey, we'll see how angry she is when we're not starving. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com because they have $250 off an emergency 3-month food kit. Everyone in your home needs 3 months worth of food. If you want to do more and make your wife mad, that's your business. But preparewithjessekelly.com. That gets you 3 months worth, all right? Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's check in with the Commander-in-Chief and see how hopeful the message is today.
Look, we've taken a position. I just did a G7 meeting this morning. The idea, nothing about Ukraine without Ukraine. So I'm not about to, nor is anyone else, prepared to negotiate with Russia about them staying in Ukraine, keeping any part of Ukraine, etc. So it would depend on specifically what he wanted to talk about. But look, he's acted brutally. I think he's committed war crimes.
War crimes. We're not going to negotiate. Okay. Look, the people in Ukraine who've had their homes and their areas taken over are probably very supportive of that position. It makes me very nervous that Joe Biden is currently presiding over a potential World War III. You know what? That's enough of that. We got to move on because I have too many Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Jesse, I think artificial lawns are a cop-out. Thoughts? I wasn't aware that this artificial lawn thing was even a thing until 5-6 months ago. I go over to a friend's house and the lawn is fake. It's that really short fake lawn stuff. Apparently, Chris, I don't know if you've seen this thing, they come out and they lay something down underneath it, some kind of mesh thing that keeps the weeds out and lets it drain, and then they just lay a fake lawn out there. And my friend got it so his dogs can go out and do their business in the lawn and it's easy to pick up. And if they go number one in the lawn, it all drains off and the rain drains off and you never have to mow and things like that. I don't know if I'd call it a cop out, but I like walking in the grass. I like walking. Chris, you like mowing? Yeah, that's because you're 25 going on 65. Jesse, I've been struggling a lot with alcohol lately. I don't think I'm an alcoholic yet, but I'm getting there. I would be ashamed if my wife knew exactly how much I've been drinking lately. It's not good. I haven't had a drink in 2 days, but work was a real bear today. And I talked myself into buying a handle of something going into the weekend. I'm listening to Wednesday's podcast in my car on the way to the liquor store when you started talking about getting help. I just wanted to let you know that I'm in the parking lot of the liquor store right now, but only to write this email telling you that I'm not going inside and I'm driving home to see my wife and kids instead. Thanks for a small victory today. Saying stuff like that really does make a difference. Let me tell each and every person listening right now. The perfect life lie is just that. Every single person around you, they all have problems. All those people you see on TV, they have problems. People you listen to on the radio, most definitely me, we have problems. People have problems. People have struggles. And let me tell you something else. Anyone who's struggling with something like this, drugs, alcohol, if you're struggling with drugs and alcohol, it's not that you shouldn't be ashamed. You shouldn't be ashamed, and you should be proud of yourself. You know why? Because you're struggling. If you didn't care and you just said, screw it, I'm going all in, that's when you should be ashamed. The fact that you're struggling is awesome. It means you should be proud of yourself. I'm glad you made it that day. I hope you make it the next day and the next day and the next 50 years. But let's do this, because life's imperfect. What if you don't? What if the next day or the next day or the day after that or the next week or the next month, what if you drive to that liquor store and you break and you go in and you get something and you go home and you get yourself liquored up and you're not the husband or father you should be? Get up the next day and do it again. If you screw up that day, get up the next day and do it again. And if you screw up that day, get up the next day and do it again. It never stops. You don't ever stop. If you're struggling, you should be proud. I've told you this before. When I was in the Marines, when you're in for a little while, you get a new crop of brand new Marines. We call them boots. It's a very derogatory term. So, of course, that's what we use. We call them boots. If you're a new Marine, you're a boot. Shut up, boot. Go get that boot. Do push-ups, boot, that kind of thing. And we would go on these long, brutal runs in the Marines. And I had friends of mine. It certainly was not me. Remember, I redefined average, but I had friends of mine who they're just studs. Just studs. Athletic studs. High school wrestling team. Just studs. Just physical beasts. And they'd go on these runs and they'd come back and they're hardly even sweating. It doesn't even bother them. And I would have some of my boots who were weaker and weren't traditional athletes and weren't traditionally strong. And they would make the run. They'd survive. But we would finish. And while my buddy over there was hard and breathing hard, our boots would finish and they're throwing up. They're passing out. They're dying on the ground. And I would tell them, buddy, you're more impressive to me than the stud, because it was a breeze for him. Every single step of the way, you wanted to die, but you kept going anyway. I had one guy, I'd name him if I had permission, but I fell out of touch with him. We would do gas mask runs all the time in Kuwait, where you put on a gas mask and run. It's just a way to be brutal. He would run until he passed out. We would stop and do calisthenics, jumping jacks, and push-ups, and it was almost a guarantee you'd look over and he'd be face down in the dirt, passed out. We'd have to go over and revive him. That's a stud right there. Just didn't have the heart for it, didn't have the body for it. And he literally didn't have the heart for it. There was something wrong with his heart. He would go until he almost died every time. That's impressive. If you're out there struggling, you should be proud of yourself. Keep struggling. Keep going. Every single day. And it might not be drugs and alcohol. It might be something else. If you're struggling, it's not that you shouldn't be ashamed. You should be proud. Keep going, all right? Everyone's got problems. Family pets, Joe Biden, the midterms. Is everything rigged? All that and so much more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Because I'm gonna. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And if you think I'm not raising my fists right now like Rocky did at the top of the stairs in Philadelphia, you are sorely, sorely mistaken. Don't shake your head, Chris. That song's on everyone's workout playlist, or you're not an American. All right? We still have so much Ask Dr. Jesse to get to. Dear part-time radio host, you know what? That's not nice, okay? I had to take a couple work trips. All right. They were work trips. It's not like I'm in Barbados sipping Mai Tais. All right. I have to go do suit things because that's what the suits want. It's part of living in this world. It's part of being a world famous author, Chris. World famous. Dear part-time author, I've been with you since the beginning. I've never heard you mention a family pet. You have a dog, right? We do have a dog. You remember, I'm not going to tell the fish murder story again. And then after that, of course, that turned into a bearded dragon, which they didn't even care about. We had to give that away. And then the boys, because they're boys, they wanted a dog. Now, my oldest son we're not sure if he still has it, but he had a pet allergy to fur. And it was all animals. Cats would do it. Dogs would do it. Horses would borderline close his throat up a little bit. We had to give him Benadryl and stuff like that. So we had to find a hypoallergenic dog, which I didn't know there was such a thing. Well, they have these things called golden doodles. It's a golden retriever in a poodle. It's a big fluffy teddy bear is what he is. And the boys named him, so his name is Fred. All right? Now, I will say this. He is a couple things. I know everyone brags about their dog. My dog is so, so stupid. I'm not trying to be mean. I've had dogs my whole life. I've had Airedales and Labs. He's a really, really, really dumb dog. What, Chris? Oh, Chris said the breed looks dumb. He's dumb. We have to remind him. Now, here's what I mean by dumb. You think I'm joking? We'll take him out for walks and things like that. Make sure he gets exercise when it's hot out. So he'll come back and he'll just be dying. We have to remind him to drink water. Otherwise, he'll just wonder, what kind of a dog doesn't know where the water bowl is? Now, that being said, he is wonderful with my children. He runs and wrestles with the boys without hurting them. And he's a fantastic guard dog. He will tear your throat out. So it just adds a level of protection to the home. But he's really dumb. He's really dumb. We have a guard dog. Dear Oracle, I'm a dime in need of advice. What's your opinion on shoulder-length hair on a woman? I've always had it very long, but thinking about cutting it to my shoulders, hoping for advice from the Oracle. And that note, is there a too short when a dime stops being a dime? Okay, one thing, ladies. Shoulder-length hair is totally fine. Long hair is totally fine. Here's what you need to watch out for, ladies, and you don't know this is happening, so I'm doing you a favor here. Women, they get bored very easily with their hair. I don't know why this is, but they do. And for the most part, we as dudes are fine with that. I'm going to get bangs, not get bangs. It's long, shoulder length, I'm fine. But women don't understand. They don't understand how truly evil their friends are. You see, men and women have two things very similar. They can be extremely petty and evil and jealous. With women, it's about looks. With men, it's about professional success. Women, ladies, I know you don't think this applies to your best friend. Not my best friend, Tina. No, it's Tina. Ladies, the second you find yourself a friend encouraging you to chop all your hair off and go super short, I want a crew cut like Randy Weingarten. That friend is planning to steal your boyfriend or husband. Or if you don't have one of those, she's planning on, in the very least, cutting you out of the market so she can be ahead of you in line trying to find a dude. Ladies, if you've ever said, man, I'm thinking about just chopping all my hair off. Every girlfriend of yours who said, oh, do it. It'll look so cute. She knows dang well it won't look cute. She's plotting on you. Be on the lookout for them. Jesse, if you ever have the inclination to give money to people who are standing on the street corner with a sign, save the money and give it to someone who is working as a tip. Some years ago, I went to lunch with a coworker. We were discussing anti-poverty programs. As we drove back to work, he stopped to get his car washed. I mentioned I thought the only really effective anti-poverty program was earned income, which pays people to work. Sanjay paid $10 for his car wash, then tipped both of the car washers $5 each. He turned to me and said, that's why I love being a big tipper. It's my own personal income credit. Okay, one, men, ladies, I'm not talking to you anymore. Men, you tip well. Doesn't mean you have to be 50%. Money doesn't grow on trees. Inflation stuff, things are tightening. Always tip 20 to 25% unless they suck and then you can reduce it. I start at 25. It can go up if you're really, really special, but I start at 25. It can also go down. There's no question about that. But a man tips well. Make sure you tip well. That's one. Two, as far as not giving money to people on the street corner, I've heard those things. And the better thing to give to people who are truly homeless is blessing bags. They've done that at our church a bunch, blessing bags. Instead of money, you get a bag loaded up full of clean socks and baby wipes and things like that. So you can hand them something useful so they won't buy drugs on it. But I'll say this, because you'll hear people say, maybe you've said it, I probably have said it. You hear people say, don't give money to homeless people because they just spend it on drugs or they're all lying scammers. I'll tell you a little story. Back after I got out of the Marines, you remember I was not doing that great alcohol-wise. I was a very angry human being, very violent human being. I was pretty fresh back from Iraq. I wasn't doing well. And I ended up finding a church. My folks were going to a church down there, so I started going to this church. And I came out of church one Sunday, and a lady comes up to me, and she's holding a baby. And she has another kid with her. This is in the church parking lot. She says, hey, is there anything you can do to help? I'm hard up. We're having a hard time finding food. She gives it to me, just gives it to me right then and there. I reach in my back pocket and I pulled out. I always carry cash. It's like a 20. I don't carry a lot of money, but I always carry a 10 or 20. I tell my sons, always keep that on. You might come in handy. But at this time, I think I had 40, 50 bucks. I didn't have a bunch of money, but that's what I had. I just handed her everything I had. Please go feed your kids. I get in my pickup, and I'm getting ready to leave the church parking lot, and I'm watching her, and she walks across the church parking lot, walks across this other big adjoining parking lot, goes and gets in a brand spanking new, I think it was a Honda Pilot, back when the Honda Pilot SUVs, they were $40,000, $50,000 SUV. She goes and hops in her brand new Honda Pilot and drives away. And I'm sitting there, and I've got freaking steam coming out of my ears. I'm so mad, and I'm such a violent person at this point in time. She's lucky she's not a dude, or I would have been running her down. I would have been running her down. That's how angry I was, and I wasn't in a good place in my life anyway. I was that kind of mad. So I think it was that day or the next day, I call my folks, and I'm complaining about it. I tell them stuff like that, and I got some great advice. They said, you know, Judgment Day comes, and you're standing before the Almighty. You, out of the goodness of your heart, gave that lady a bunch of money. She, as a loser, weasel, snake, stole it from you and went and blew it on whatever when she didn't need it. Do you think God is going to honor what you did? I said, yeah, probably. They're like, you're right. Do you think she's going to pay in the end for doing that? I said, oh, yeah, you're right. Remember, giving to people, especially now in hard times in this country that are coming, giving to people is about your heart, not theirs. That doesn't mean we don't vet things we give. We don't vet places we give. But if you ever, you want to give, thinking about giving a 10 to that homeless guy, a buck to that homeless guy, maybe he'll spend it on drugs. Maybe he will. Who's going to be judged harshly for that, you or him? It's about you. If you're thinking about it, hand it to them. All right, someone wants to know what a recoilless rifle is. The subpoena of Trump. Someone has a question about the Republican countermeasures. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, you're well aware the House Dems have subpoenaed Trump. My question is, can Republicans, once we take the House, subpoena Joe Biden? If they do, why not have him testifying every day? If they want to play this game, let's play it. Couple things. They can subpoena Joe Biden if they have the political will for it. No, you can't make him testify every day. There are rules to such things. Here's the problem with elected Republicans. Elected Republicans, they understand politics is hard and harsh, but they don't play the game. They don't view the game the way the communists view the game. Communists view politics as this end-all, be-all war for the country, and they intend to win at all costs. Republicans, they wouldn't mind winning as long as they don't have... Look, I don't want to get my hands dirty. I definitely don't want to get yelled at by somebody. I don't want a nasty article written about me in the Washington Times. I don't want this. I'll win. Look, I'll win if I don't have to feel icky, guys. That's how Republicans do it. Republicans always have an excuse for why they can't return fire. It's why I've been so hard on Bill Barr, and why, if you remember right, I was on the radio at the time. It's why I savaged him when he said it. When Bill Barr got up behind the microphone after all that lying and cheating and law-breaking at the FBI and DOJ while Trump was president as they attacked Trump, and Bill Barr got up and he said, it's not going to be some tit-for-tat. We're never going to get back. We're never going to fix this two-tier justice system if this cycle continues. You remember when he said it? In case you forgot, here he is.
What happened to the president in the 2016 election and throughout the first 2 years of his administration was abhorrent. The proper investigative and prosecutive standards of the Department of Justice were abused in order to reach a particular result. We saw two different standards of justice emerge, one that applied to President Trump and the other that applied to everybody else. We can't allow this ever to happen again. But this cannot be, and it will not be, a tit-for-tat exercise. We are not going to lower the standards just to achieve a result. The only way to stop this vicious cycle, the only way to break away from a dual system of justice, is to make sure that we scrupulously apply the single and proper standard of justice for everybody.
False. That's a lie. It's naive, it's pathetic, and it's a lie. The only way to stop this cycle is to apply a good standard. Okay? We did that. We didn't do a tit for tat. Good work, Bill Barr. How'd Democrats respond? They impeached Trump again the second time, got elected, and promptly sent their attorney general after everyone from innocent pro-lifers who read the Bible at pro-life clinics to school board parents. When you're dealing with vicious communists who view themselves as being in a war for the country, they're not at all inspired by your, there won't be a tit for tat. They don't look at you saying things like that and say, man, you know, guys, he's right. I don't want, you know, that example he just set, I find it to be inspiring. I think we should back off, guys. I've used the example before. I'll use it again. You can be as mad as you want at the communists for how they conduct themselves, but you should be more angry with Republicans for never hitting back. I'm a father. If I take my son out on a walk one day and the neighbors have a bad dog and he's figured out a way to get over the fence and the dog comes out and he bites my son and then takes off running, my son's bleeding, he's crying, he's hurting, I take him home, I patch him up, and then I take my son out the next day after that and the dog jumps over and bites my son again. And then I take him out the next day after that and the dog jumps over and bites my son again. If I'm still blaming the dog, I'm dead wrong. The dog is what he is. The dog's a vicious little animal who bites children. Communists in this country are what they are. They are vicious, nasty human beings who will use every bit of power they get to smash their political opponents in an effort to gain more power and destroy the United States of America. If you're never going to make the dog pay for jumping over the fence, you're the problem. Day one, your dog gets bit. Okay, that's the dog's fault. Day two, if the dog jumps over the fence and he doesn't get a ball bat to the face when he's trying to bite your son, it's your fault. The communist never is going to be inspired by your good conduct, ever. He's never, ever, 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 ever going to look at your principles. You're above that. We're better than that stand and say to himself, man, that's the way I want to be. You know what? I'm backing off. The communist only understands fear and pain. He's a religious zealot. Religious zealots only ever understand fear and pain. They will never stop. They will never, ever, ever, ever. You know those radical Islamic terrorists we took on forever? Were they ever inspired by speeches, by foreign aid, or anything like that? Nope. The only thing that ever backed them off, ever slowed them down, was sending Delta Force guys into their caves to shoot them in the face, or sending Reaper drones after them. It's the only thing that dissuaded them. Now, we need a legal, nonviolent version of that. Either we start using our power to return fire in an effort to give them a moment of pause next time they think they're going to do it, or they'll never stop. Let me ask you this. If you're a vicious communist in the government right now, what motivation do you have to stop? People keep asking, why doesn't the FBI stop? They continue these raids on pro-lifers. Why won't they stop? Why won't they stop? Why won't they stop? I ask you, why would they stop? The last FBI guy, Kevin Kleinsmith, he falsified evidence to get a warrant to spy on President Trump. He should be in prison the rest of his life. He didn't even get disbarred. He's still practicing law. Why would they ever stop? Speaking of these pro-lifers, that's the reason I support preborn so hard, is the pro-life cause is under vicious assault in this country. It's not something I will ever give up or back off. I encourage you to never give up or back off. These young ladies who are scared, they need to know there is a chance. There's a chance for something better. They have options. They don't have to choose that abortion. Preborn sets up outside of these abortion clinics, and they offer these young ladies a free ultrasound. And when young women see that ultrasound, they choose life. It costs $28 for Preborn to give it to them. Can we save a life for $28? $140 saves five lives, rescuing babies' lives. Dial #250 and say baby. Or you can go to preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. I'm asking you now. $28. Save a life. It saves a life. Preborn.com/Jesse.
This is an iHeart podcast.